141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard on a big night of international football. Ukraine visit Hampden with Stevie Clark's side aiming to go top of the Nations League group with a win. Ange Postecoglou plays down speculation about a move away, saying he's living the dream at Celtic. And Charlie Adam announces his retirement from football. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Simon Donnelly and Hugh Keevans.
We've had two wins out of six in Stevie Clark's last half dozen games, both against Armenia. I think we need an adrenaline rush tonight at Hampden before we take on the Republic of Ireland on Saturday. But Ukraine should, in theory, be even more formidable than they were last June, because they're still driven by that national pride that consumes a country at war, and they're a really good team. This isn't a gimme, Simon.
No, as you say, Hugh, a very good team. We were at the Church on the Hill watching the playoff, and they really did a number on Scotland that night. They were superb. Add to that, Mudrick, the young player that scored against Celtic last week, who looks fantastic. We're going to have to be at the top of our game.
01419511025. Come on down. I know international football isn't everyone's cup of tea, but come on the big match night, surely we can all have our say on what Stevie Clark should do team wise That's always a good debate to kick things off. There's no Andy Robertson, the skipper's out, which is not ideal. So who takes his place? Celtic fans, what have you made of Greg Taylor? Is he the man that has to get in and take Andy Robertson's slot tonight? Is it Aaron Hickey? Is it someone else? Who do you play in midfield? Billy Gilmore's not playing a lot of football at the moment. Is he still good enough to go in there and play? I assume Nathan Patterson, with his form at Everton, makes the right back berth his own. Up front, Shea Adams, probably. Who else does Dykes play? Is McGinn off him? Stuart Armstrong, Ryan Christie? Come on, there are so many questions out there tonight, and only you can answer them until Stevie Clark names that team. So you've still got a bit of time. Get in touch, 0141 951 1025. Very generally, how are you feeling about the game? Do you think Scotland can do it? Does Ukraine give you nightmares after the performance in the summer? And what about that team then? Who would you pick? Who would you not? 0141 951 1025. Of course, if you just cannot tear yourself away from the domestic football, we'll find time for that between now and 8 o'clock, I'm absolutely certain. And it's the same number, 0141 951 1025. Before we do move on, Hugh, we leave behind a dramatic weekend of domestic football.
Incredible. I left this studio at 6 o'clock last Saturday evening with Rangers fans talking about drivel and dog meat, and Celtic looking forward to playing against St Mirren in Paisley. And for me, they get complacent, they get arrogant. They thought they could put out any old team and win the match, and the performance was lamentable. And all credit to St Mirren. When I was asked to pick my team of the weekend by Radio Clyde to go online, I had half a dozen St Mirren players in it, including the entire back four. And that has caused a stooshy on Twitter, but I stand by it. I'm not interested in how many attempts at goal Celtic had. St Mirren did not concede, and it's not their fault if Celtic were rubbish on the day.
And now it all goes in the back burner for a couple of weeks, Simon.
Yeah, I'm just laughing at Hugh's lamentable. Was that the word you used?
Yes, yes.
I'd say very, very flat Celtic at the weekend. It's funny because out with the games obviously getting cancelled last week, getting into that weekend, you know, Rangers was on the show, the fans calling in crying for Dio's head, which I don't really agree with, but it's remarkable how things can flip in a week. I'm not here to kind of tell Ange what to do in his job, but I think the team, he obviously brings Jota and Hatate on at half time, so he wasn't happy with the guys that came in. But it was a very flat performance for Celtic. It was funny because I was watching the lead up to the game, and it was one day to a year exactly that they would be undefeated domestically. Mm-hmm. And just sometimes things, you know, work out that way.
Simon, if a man makes one mistake per calendar year,
yes,
he's doing all right. But he made the mistake.
Imagine you with that sort of success rate. Wow.
Every calendar week.
One a
in
day.
My case.
01419511025. Like I said, if you can't tear yourself away from domestic football, I'm sure we will get the chance between now and 8 o'clock. But come on, you Scotland fans, I know you're out there. How do you feel about the game tonight? Steve Clark talking about needing some momentum, needing to start moving things forward again after stalling in the summer. Is that going to happen tonight? How do you feel? How do you assess the shape of the squad, the strength of the team, and who should play? That's always the great thing about a big match day. Who should play?
Do you want the dream team from me?
No, you can hold your horses just for a minute or two, and then we'll build up a bit of suspense here. Who should play? Maybe you're on your way to Hampden. That would be nice to hear from you. Maybe you're taking the youngsters along or whatever it may be. Please do get in touch. 0141 951 1025. Let's set to the scene then from the National Stadium with Andrew McLean.
Yeah, well, it does feel like a long time ago that we were sat here full of anticipation for that World Cup playoff semi-final against Ukraine. Loads of question marks in the build-up about how Ukraine would fare given the awful stuff that they've been going through as a country and are still going through as a country as well. Qatar was on everyone's minds, but Ukraine came here and they just blew Scotland away, really, didn't they? You could sense the emotion, the motivation, but you could see the quality they possessed on the pitch as well, and Scotland were just second best on the night in early June. Steve Clarke and Stuart Armstrong both speaking yesterday, both talking about the hurt still being there from that game. Even though there's not a World Cup place at stake here, we know how important the Nations League can be, so still plenty on the line tonight. It'll go some way to deciding Euro 2024 playoff places, depending on how these teams finish in the group. Qualifying, seeding as well, and Scotland need to claw back a bit of pride as well after that defeat to Ukraine in June and that really poor display against Ireland as well. Steve Clarke with loads of choices to make tonight, as you alluded to, Gordon. There'll be plenty of debates on the phone. No Grant Hanley, so who plays in the centre of defence? Does Kieran Tierney stay there, or in the absence of Andy Robertson, does he move, or does it free up a space for Greg Taylor, Aaron Hickey at left wing back? Loads of options in the centre of midfield. Who will get that nod in the final third as well? Loads of questions. I'll give you the answers as soon as I get them.
Yeah, looking forward to that. But until then, you lot out there on the phones, you get to decide. Get your suggestions in. In an imaginary world, Stevie Clarke can't make his mind up, and he's tuning in, and you get to tell him what he should do and what he shouldn't. So what do you think the team should look like tonight? 0141 951 1025 or Twitter at ClydeSSB. Hugh, I get why it feels flat. It just sort of does, as you know, as Andrew's talking about. It's because, you know, we had such high hopes in the summer. We know we won't be going to the World Cup. Republic of Ireland in Dublin in June was not great, and that's an understatement. However, that Nations League table, it's a bit early to be writing it all off. I mean, beat Ukraine tonight, go top of the Nations League table. Yeah. That's it. One game, 190 minutes. Now that'll obviously be tough. We then play Republic of Ireland on Saturday, already 2 points above them, having played a game fewer. So, yeah, well, it's not time to chuck in the towel.
You used a phrase 5 minutes ago when you said that international football is not everyone's cup of tea. That is a fact in this part of the country. A lot of people will be fed up with what's already turned into a fascinating title race being interrupted for a tournament that they look at and think, what is this? We just played Ukraine. What? Why are we playing them again?
Well, this tournament got us to the Euros, so worth bearing that in mind.
Yeah, of course. But you're coming at it from a professional, journalistic point of view. The fans think, why? We played Republic of Ireland a while ago. So they're not consumed by this competition, and they feel it's an interruption to the football season rather than an important juncture for Stevie Clarke and this squad.
Ah, not everyone. I can see the phones lighting up with people wanting to have their say. So let's do it. 0141 951 1025. Josh is a big Scotland fan. Josh, what are you thinking tonight?
Hello, Gordo and the boys. How are we doing?
Good.
Gordo. Probably not as well as you by the sounds of it. You looking forward to the game?
I can't wait, mate. I've came outside the shed to phone you directly. I'm sitting outside Langside Hall right now. Listen, just feeling really positive about tonight. I've got that feeling, you know, that kind of feeling in the pit of your stomach. I think we've just got to do them tonight. I think we've probably learnt our lessons from when we played them before in the semi-final. Probably go out tonight and I reckon we'll win 2-0. I just think it'll be a convincing footballing performance. You know, we're not a goal-scoring team, right? We don't have a lot of... that's never been us. We've never had prominent goal scorers, you know, scoring 20, 30 a season in recent years anyway. So I just feel that we're going to go out there, score two goals, win 2-0 and send everybody home happy.
Certainly hope you're right. Josh talks about learning lessons, and that will need to be the case, Simon. That was look, Ukraine are ranked roughly, I've not got, it's about, they're about 20 places above us in the world rankings. They go to more tournaments than we do. They are very good. However, we did have a bit of optimism in the summer and then got a wake up call, didn't we?
We did. In terms of lessons though, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but we just didn't perform on the night. We didn't turn up. We didn't play the performance against Denmark, and we always get into these games with hope, and we wanted them to replicate, you know, the last playoff that got us to the Euros. But I just don't think, and I remember discussing on the night, was that an element of Ukraine not allowing us to play, or had we not turned up? I think it was a wee bit of both. So in terms of learning lessons, I think you have to respect the opponents tonight. I did say at the time I thought Scotland would be in better shape next time round, in terms of, it's the start of a new season, they've had a short rest, pre-season, we're now weeks into the new season, they should be fit, they should be fresh, ready to go. Obviously we're missing Andy Robertson, which is a big blow for us as a small nation. But I still think, as Josh says, there's room for optimism there. I mean, the Nations Cup comes round and it never really excites me to an extent. But as you quite rightly said, it got us to the last Euros. And when I got up the road tonight in the second half, I'll be screaming at that telly, you know, regardless of what's happening.
Josh has the eternal optimism of the fan. He says, on one hand, we don't have prolific goal scorers, but on the other hand, he's supremely confident about the outcome. So he's perfectly entitled to hold that view. My feeling is that when we played Ukraine in June, it was a unique occasion because world sympathy was with Ukraine. On a global basis, everyone wanted Scotland to lose the game. And I think the whole atmosphere of the occasion got to the Scotland players, not to detract in any way from Ukraine, because they were terrific. I just feel that at that particular point, the players of Ukraine hadn't played for a long time because of what was going on.
Well, some.
Yeah. But now, I think they're in a better place in terms of their own professionalism, their own preparedness, and the bottom line is, they've got some terrific players.
Josh, where are we as a squad? On one hand, there's no Andy Robertson, but there was no Kieran Tierney the last time, so those two have swapped round. Kieran Tierney's back. He's also not playing that often for Arsenal, though. Billy Gilmore said, you know, moved in the summer, not had a lot of football. How do you feel about the squad?
Well, look, I mean, the squad, guys. Gordon, I've got to tell you, I've got to tell you, a laugh. A wee baldy guy's just leaned at the motor and shouted at me if I'm on super scoreboard.
A wee baldy guy. You can't go around calling people wee baldy guys.
It's funny. I thought Alex Ray was still down at Reading as well. He's obviously come back up for the big game. But anyway, you're famous, Josh. That's what we do to you. Do you tell him you're pals with Hugh Keevans?
No, the squad, Gordon. Listen. See, to be honest, right, I'm going to say something controversial. I think Andy Robertson's is less of a loss than Kieran Tierney. I think Tierney is such an such a huge loss. It's staggering, actually. It really, really is. I don't watch a lot of English football, right? But somebody needs to explain to me how the hell Kieran Tierney's still playing a lot for Arsenal. But you talk about squads and all. By the way, Ukraine's missing, is it Zinchenko?
Zinchenko's missing.
Yeah, the guy that's keeping Kieran Tierney out of the Arsenal team.
Yeah, aye, but by far and away, he's probably their best player as far as I know. They're missing key players themselves and all, right? So we need to get past the idea of key players. We have, you know, missing key players. We have squad depth. We've got a lot of good players sitting waiting in the wings, you know what I mean, to come in. I mean, if we miss a few key players, and I'm being brutally honest, I think, you know, Andrew Robertson, while he's a world-class left-back, one of the best left-backs in the world, I don't think we miss him as much as we miss some other players. I think that when Kieran Tierney is missing, when maybe someone like Callum McGregor, because he's just such an important base of the team in terms of launching an attack and moving the ball around, you know, even Che Adams, actually, I think we miss Robertson left. Let's be honest, Greg Taylor's been playing out his skin this season, and he'll come in there slotting at left back, and Tierney will play left centre back. At least that's the way I would think. I think we'll be fine in terms of that area of the pitch. It's what's happening up at the other end that kind of concerns me. I know Ryan Christie's been playing really well this season. Stuart Armstrong's obviously really creative and all. But what we don't, as I said before, we don't have a lot of natural goal scorers. But I just, you know, look, I've just got that feeling, and all the Mr. Keevans, he might just be back for his holidays and he's got the holiday blues. That's why he's being so negative, right? But I'm feeling really positive. Right? I'm just feeling like we'll go here tonight, and I just feel like we're going to go and get.
I'll tell you what it is, Josh. There's been an issue with the luggage, but we'll get to that a bit later
I'm
on.
I'm not being negative. I am not being negative. I've said that. So quite simply, Ukraine will be as good, if not better, than they were last June. And we've had two wins.
So Scotland, though.
But two wins out of the last six, both against Armenia. I've not been negative. I said to you, Simon, in the introduction to the programme, this is not a gimme. That's what I'm saying.
Simon, it's an interesting point. I don't think we're going to sit here and say we won't miss Andy Robertson. You know, look how good the guy is. But if you let's go back to that night. The you know Church on the Hill, and we watched the playoff full of optimism. It became clear within minutes how much we were missing Kieran Tierney.
Yeah, and it's a fair comment that Josh makes, because I think the fact that Tierney can play one in, you know, and he's been so effective for Scotland playing in that kind of left centre back role, and it's evident, as you say, going back to that game. I remember us talking about it at the time. Andy Robertson being outnumbered on that side, you know, three and four Ukraine players over, and normally he would have the likes of a Tierney to play alongside there. Albeit, you know, Tierney playing centre-back, how many times did we see him doing the overlap and getting forward? So it's a fair comment from Josh. I just feel, I mean, Greg Taylor's had a fantastic start to the season. I just feel Andy Robertson's obviously the best left-back we've got. But it's fair to say that we'd probably miss Tierney more.
Thank you very much to Josh. Enjoy the game and your newfound fame out there, waving to his fans as he takes the call. Andy's on the line. Andy, I hope you won't mind this, because we've actually got the team already, so you can, rather than give us your suggestion, you can give us your reaction to it. Andrew McLean, take it away.
Yeah, well, interestingly, Kieran Tierney isn't playing as one of the three central defenders. He's playing as the left wing-back tonight for Scotland. So the full team, Craig Gordon in goal, is a back three of Scott McTominay, Jack Hendry and Scott McKenna. The two wing-backs, Nathan Patterson and Kieran Tierney. It'll then be John McGinn and Callum McGregor in the centre of midfield, with John McGinn and Ryan Christie supporting Shea Adams up top. The substitutes for Scotland tonight, Kelly, McCrory, Taylor, Porteous, Dykes, Gilmore, Ralston, Fraser, Jack, Hickey and McLean.
Give us that midfield once more. I think you maybe said John McGinn twice, unless my ears are playing tricks
apologies.
On me.
I did say John McGinn twice. That is my apologies. I meant to say John McGinn, Stuart Armstrong and Callum McGregor as three central midfielders. Ryan Christie will be supporting Shea Adams up top.
Interesting. Now, the big sort of groan that we gave out is because it was as if Kieran Tierney wasn't playing. But look, you can't argue with that, those fullbacks, can you? Nathan Patterson on one side and Kieran Tierney on the other.
Absolutely not. I'm a big fan of Patterson on the right as well. I'm delighted that he's fought his way into the Everton team at the start of this season. You know, he's had to bide his time down there, but his performances for Scotland have been great. Midfields, McGregor, McGinn,
Armstrong
alike. He had a strong game against Armenia with the two goals, and there's no Gilmore, so it's Christie and Adams. I think Gilmore maybe he's not had a lot of game time.
Hardly any at all. Alright, okay, what do you think of that team then? Is that the right one? Who would you have picked? Are you annoyed that Greg Taylor's not in there? Celtic fans, would you have played Billy Gilmore irrespective of his lack of football? Is Ryan Christie the right man to go off Shea Adams? All the usual questions, but you need to provide the answers. 01419511025. We'll speak to you next.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Simon Donnelly and Hugh Keevans are here. It's 01419511025. If you're just joining us, what do you make of this Scotland team? Craig Gordon in goal, McTominay, Hendry, McKenna, Patterson. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm reading that out in a strange order, Simon, and the reason for that, let's just skip ahead, is because we're used to Scotland playing
in a back three.
Andrew McLean's read it that way, and do you know what, there's every chance it is. I just wonder if there is scope there that we actually change to a back four tonight. Probably. So here's your options, right? It's either a back three of McTominay, Hendry and McKenna, with Nathan Patterson and Kieran Tierney as the wing backs, or Patterson plays right back, Tierney plays left back, Hendry and McKenna play centre back in a four, and then McTominay plays in midfield, and that allows McTominay to sit there with Callum McGregor and John McGinn, and Stuart Armstrong and Ryan Christie go closer to Shea Adams. We are used to seeing a three. Maybe I'm overthinking it.
There's scope there. I wouldn't be overly surprised, especially we were talking about it before we came on here. McTominay has, out with the, obviously their first couple of games of the season, Man United, when they were really poor, I think he's had rave reviews in the middle of the park. It's his most familiar position. However, he's played at the back for us in many an occasion, so I wouldn't be surprised. I would actually like the look of that if he was moved into the middle of the park.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, as you say, we normally play a back three.
Let's bring in Andy, because he's been hanging on for quite some time. When you phoned in, Andy, you were going to suggest your team, I think, you know, and now we've got it. What do you make of that team? Is that the right one, or are there a few mistakes in there for you?
The team itself probably picks itself a wee bit, you know. I mean, there is one or two exceptions. Is Christie up front, is that right?
Shea Adams up front, and then sort of Ryan Christie playing off him, yeah.
Right, I like Christie. I mean, I know I'm a Rangers supporter, right, but right now I'm a Scotland supporter, and I like Christie. I think Christie is a good option. Shea Adams, in the last game he played with Scotland, didn't really get much joy. he's a big kind of target man, you know, and if they block him out, he's really ineffective a wee bit, you know. He's just not as effective. I think when people didn't know about him, they didn't know how to play against him, but now they've kind of they've done their homework, they know how to play against him, like, you know. It's going to be a tough game tonight. I think if we're lucky, very lucky, I think we'll get a draw. I don't think we'll win tonight. I really don't. I hope we do, but I don't think we will. And I think Steve Clarke, I think the blame relies on falling Steve Clarke. There's a couple of players in that squad that should have been anywhere near that squad. I know they're no player. I don't know if they're on the bench or anything tonight.
Well, I think pretty much everyone else is on the bench. So whoever you're about to mention, I think they will be.
Right, I think you know who I'm going to mention. It's probably come up on the screen. Ryan Fraser. He turned his back in Scotland last year. Shouldn't have been near Scotland, right? Now, I'm not saying he's not a good player. He is a good player, but he shouldn't have been anywhere near Scotland. If you turn your back in Scotland and then play the next game for, I think it was Newcastle, shouldn't be anywhere near Scotland. And in this programme, Super Scoreboard, I listen to it religiously. You know, it's a brilliant programme. But every week, there's always people coming on about how Morelos is a... I know I'm going to have to tangent a wee bit here, but Morelos is a bit of a liability on and off the field. Then Porteous, what is Porteous then? Porteous, to me, is a liability on and off the field. And he's nowhere near international class player. Nowhere near it. So if Steve Clarke's team does fall flat in its face today, then I'm not just saying it's their two players' fault, but picking players like that is not going to help.
Just quickly, just something I mentioned, for accuracy purposes, David Turnbull is not on the bench anywhere, so he's been left in the stand, presumably. I'm trying to quickly count and see if there's anyone else. I think it's just him.
It's a fact of life that Ryan Fraser will have to live with the decision he took. And that when you turn your back on your country, and he did, then the fans have long memories. What he did was tantamount to saying, I'd rather get on at Newcastle United under Eddie Howe than bother about Scotland.
Yeah, just so, quickly for anyone who can't remember the context, he pulled out of a Scotland squad and then was pictured training with Newcastle the next day. Sorry.
With regard to Porteous is always a controversial figure. Jim Goodwin made him such at the weekend when he called him a cheat and told him that he had told us that he had told that to Ryan Porteous and to his face. But Porteous has yet to establish himself at international level. I don't think there was ever any chance of him playing tonight. He's very much a work in progress, and I mean that at Hibs and for Scotland. So Andy is simply illustrating that fans have long memories and they're not having Ryan Fraser at the moment. I suspect, correct me if I'm wrong, Andy, I suspect there's a bit of club rivalry involved there with regard to Porteous, because Porteous, when it comes to playing Rangers, is always a figure of controversy.
You're probably right there, Sue. There's no point lying about it. He probably has right, but I honestly don't think he's international class. I was trying to think offhand just on the hot who I would get to replace Portis in the squad and Fraser. And I can't think offhand, to be honest with you, but Portis to me, and it's controversial, I know that. I know players and managers have called him out. Referees seem to give him the benefit of the doubt a lot of times as well. For some reason, this weekend it didn't happen. Well, it happened this weekend. It was never a penalty. He kind of dragged the player down. So I agree with Jim Goodwin. But Portis to me is just isn't it international class. He's just saying he's got to prove himself at his club level, and that goes with his behaviour as well. So what's he doing anywhere near a team that is going for a Euros spot in Scotland? You know, he shouldn't be anywhere near it. He nearly shouldn't be.
The only way I can answer that, Andy, is to say that Steve Clarke, the man who picks the squad and picks the team, obviously sees something in Ryan Portis.
I think he was asked about it yesterday. Said, you know, he finds him to be a polite, hard-working young man or something along those lines.
Yeah.
Simon, where do you stand on Ryan Fraser? Look, neither of these guys are in the team. Friendly who's just switched on and said, oh my goodness, Ryan Portis and Ryan Fraser, none of them are playing, but they are on the bench. And you would have to imagine, if you're going to make an attacking change,
there are
not many options. Right? So Ryan Fraser would come
and he's playing regularly at the moment.
It would come into that conversation. I mean, Andy's of the view, look,
how would Andy feel if he comes off the bench there and scores the winner?
Yeah. Is that where it becomes a bit different, Andy?
Who's this, Fraser?
Yeah. But listen, Andy, I know exactly what you're saying. The pride of playing for your country, you know, I was never in that position to turn my country down, and I don't know the ins and outs of it, but what if he comes off the bench tonight and scores the winner?
I know, and Hugh, it is a really difficult one because everyone likes to think they've, you know, these that sort of take a strong stance on these things, and if you turn your back on us, we'll turn our back on you. At the same time, human beings do silly things. The people deserve second chances if they are truly sorry about it, and then ultimately, if Stevie Clarke isn't blessed with a huge number of players, does he cut off his nose to spite his face and never pick Ryan Fraser again? It's a difficult one.
Fans are entirely pragmatic. If Ryan Fraser comes off the bench and scores the winner tonight, then fans will not mention what has gone on in the past because they'll be too busy jumping up and down and hugging each other. So that is the nature of being a fan. And incidentally, in the passing, I commend Andy because when I said to him the criticism of Porteous is probably based on club rivalry, he was man enough to admit that is the case. And again, if Porteous...
But you could be saying that to Rangers fans, Hearts fans, Aberdeen fans.
Absolutely.
At the moment.
Yeah.
It seems.
If Porteous comes on and scores, Andy will say, will reserve the right to say, and justifiably, I don't like him, but I'm glad he scored.
I mean, Simon, as usual, I'm looking at the team on Twitter, I'm looking at the replies, that there's some... It's all right sort of disagreeing, but there's some really negative stuff which always makes me wonder how different do people think the team can be.
Yeah.
Right.
I just
sort of generally though at this point, everyone's entitled to say I would have played him over him, and I don't think that's quite right. But really, what else is out there for us? Who's staring you in the face that's
not in this squad?
Yeah, or isn't playing, or you know, you can make a case for Greg Taylor, but Kieran Tierney's essentially playing tonight where Greg Taylor would play.
Yeah.
Other than that, you look down at that bench, is there anyone that you think, oh my goodness, that's a disgrace that he's not playing?
The only real one for me that I'd written down earlier on, and I thought about it in the drive-in, was Billy Gilmour, purely because it's the start of the season, the kid should be ready to go. I'd imagine he'd be dying to play. I think the adrenaline of playing at Hampden, he's shown he can handle it for Scotland before, but ultimately Steve Clarke's worked with him for the last week or so, and I think that's fell against him.
He's now with the biggest club in England, but he's only
his manager's gone.
He's only played 1 minute for the biggest club in England.
Yeah.
So I think that has to come into Steve Clarke.
It probably does, but I was just thinking along the guys did pre-season. He'll be fit. Yeah, match time, whatever. He played in the last game, and he's, as I say, he's been one of our better players, one of our best players.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only one for me. The others, I'm not sure. I look at McGregor, for me, has to play. McGinn, 13 goals for Scotland, is his first name in the sheet. And as I said, McTominay moving into the middle of the park, I would not lose sleep over that, because a back four, I think Scotland, yeah. The rest of it, I'm not really, unless there's somebody out there that can call in and pluck a name. I don't think Andy Robertson's the obvious miss, but out with that.
I noticed we're not a kick in the backside off 24 years. I was looking at, is there any sort of anniversary? Because it's always international break time at this time of year, and we're not that close. But 24 years ago, nearly, you played against Estonia, 3-2, a Billy Dodds goal scoring performance. Remember that one?
Yes, I was involved.
Yeah, absolutely.
Tynecastle.
I think it was that one, wasn't it? Did you come on?
I came on.
Colin Calderwood.
Yeah, I think I got an assist as well.
There you go. You must have changed the game on in the 56th minute.
Yeah, we won 3-2. I can't remember how,
it
the,
was Tynecastle,
how did
yeah.
the scoring go, Bob.
Yeah, do you know, I actually can't see that.
You
for
must
some
remember
reason.
The headlines. Super Sid.
I'm not so sure. But I think I put a cross in for Billy Dodds.
There you go. Take it. Absolutely. Who's going to do that tonight? I wonder. Hopefully, a few people. Thank you to Andy, by the way. 01419511025. We are on Twitter as well, at Clyde SSB. As I mentioned, you can react to that Scotland team. We're Glasgow Celtic says Greg Taylor's been stung here by not getting a mention. Andrew says, why can't we just play four at the back? Well, maybe we can. Who knows? Maybe it is that tonight. There's another one there saying just need a decent striker. Nice ringing endorsement for Shea Adams, who's actually started the season quite well, Hugh.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's either him or Lyndon Dykes. You know, we're not rich in that department. What a country we've turned into. We've got some of the most sensational fullbacks you can find in Serie A, yeah. in England's Premier League. We've got players who are magnificent all over the place, but not a striker on the horizon.
I was talking about it the other day. It's strange to think that
Shea Adams is still a decent Premier League striker, isn't he? We could do with more, and we could do with more options.
Sorry, I'll rephrase that. I'm not talking about no strike. I'm meaning coming through, youngsters sure. coming through, yeah. like the likes of Celtic or Rangers.
When
was the
it?
Last time we produced correct. Like a centre forward? It's, as you say, fullbacks, midfielders, yeah. wingers.
I see that question though, like, it genuinely is ages, like generations. Yeah, yeah. Like, what are we talking about?
You're back to McAvaney, Nicholas, McCoist.
I mean, well, recent times, Kenny Miller did a good job mm-hmm. for.
Yeah.
A great job for Scotland.
He's about 60 now, as we always like to tell him yeah. on the show on a Friday.
But yeah, I did have this discussion with somebody recently, and it was the lack of strikers coming through at that age group, youth level.
Right, let's hear from the man who's picked that team tonight, Steve Clark. It's a big night for him. He says if we lose tonight, the Nations League campaign is over.
Yeah, they'll be fired up. Of course they will. Good team. They want to top the section. They'll want promotion to the A group of the Nations League. But so do we. So, like I said before, we're hopeful that, well, not hopeful, we're certainly going to do our best to play better than we did in the summer, and then we'll see what the result is. I think they're a very good team, very comfortable on the ball, good possession. They showed they can play on counter-attack as well with the third goal. We're disappointed the way that game turned out in the summer, so we'll try and put it right. We lost two goals that I think were both avoidable. We could have defended better, and hopefully we defend better this time.
What do you think of what you're hearing so far? Do you disagree with any of Stevie Clark's decisions? Do you disagree with anything Hugh Keevans or Simon Donnelly's saying? Probably. Well, why not tell them? 0141 951 1025, and we'll speak to you right after these.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Simon Donnelly and Hugh Keevans are about to be joined by Gordon and Airdrie, who's on the line. What's your point tonight, Gordon?
Thanks, guys. Yeah, my point is, I think the team's better without Grant Hanley in it. I think every time he plays, we have mistakes and we leak goals with it. I think the last time he didn't play was when we played Serbia and won in penalties, and I think it was a 0-0 draw. That was the last time we had a clean sheet. So I just wanted to know what the panel thought about that.
Simon?
Well, I mean, I thought he was one of our best performers at the Euros, Hanley. I don't really know. I think if we play this back three tonight, McKenna comes in, he's got an opportunity. He's now experiencing the English Premiership, so it's another standard up for him, another level up. Hanley I think Hanley's did okay for Scotland. To single him out would be a wee bit unfair. As I say, the Euros sticks in my mind. He was probably our best defender.
Just Gordon references, you know, Serbia, which, you know, we're going back a bit. He has played in some decent performances since then. You think going away to Austria and winning, keeping a clean sheet, he played that night, which was pretty much exactly a year ago. A couple others where Gordon would be right in our best performance, best result is probably that Denmark one.
Uh-huh.
He didn't play that night. It was John Souter, you remember, he scored,
right,
didn't he?
Yep.
Liam Cooper played, Kieran Tierney, Andy Robertson, Stephen O'Donnell, guys like that. I was fascinated by the up and down nature of Grant Hanley, though, Hugh, because there certainly was a tight. Remember, he came in years ago and got lots of caps.
Yeah.
He became a bit of a whipping boy. He sort of dropped out and we didn't see him very often. Then, as Simon said, a lot of people did consider him to have a very good Euros, but Gordon's still not sure he should be part of our strong team, and it'll help us tonight that he's not there.
The up and down nature of players applies to more than Grant Hanley. I mean, for me, Jack Henry has had a terrific time since he left Scotland. He's broadened his horizons in Belgium, now he's in Italy. But for me,
I think only one appearance for that team this season.
But whichever country he's in, for me, Jack Henry's a bit hit and miss. McTominay has done exceptionally well at Manchester United under Erik ten Hag.
As a midfielder?
Yeah. McKenna, Nottingham Forest are already everyone's favourite to go down. Torrid time for them. I just think that, you know, like the Rangers supporter was on earlier, who just didn't like Ryan Porteous because he has his moments against Rangers. I think Gordon, not because of any club reason, but Gordon just doesn't like the look of Grant Hanley. And that for me, I as I say, I often don't like the look of Jack Henry or Scott McKenna. But, you know, tonight maybe their night to step up.
Gordon, what do you like about it? Is there anything that makes you feel positive? Well, I suppose you're saying the absence of Grant Hanley is a positive, but anyone's inclusion that you're happy with?
No, I think the fact that he's playing Tierney as a wing back is very positive. I think I prefer him in the back three, but if he's playing him at left wing back, it means I think he's going to go for it, which I think is a good thing. I think the last time we sat back off him too much, so I think if we press him a bit more with Patterson on one side and Tierney on the other, I think we've got a real chance of getting a result.
Yeah, I mean, strange times for Kieran Tierney, Simon, where he finds himself not nailed on first choice at Arsenal this season, but he did play the full game at the weekend there against Brentford in that 3-0 win, so he comes into it. And then the previous he started against Zurich, but that was the 10 days before. Yeah, so there was obviously a game missed out. He started the Zurich game. In fact, you know what? He has started the last couple, hasn't he, in the absence of Zinchenko. So good timing for us, because maybe if this break had been a few weeks ago, he hadn't played that much from the start.
He's a big player for Scotland, and it brings more than just what it's a leadership as well. It's the way he conducts himself on the pitch. I think it washes off on everybody else. Just his attitude. It's always been the same. He's never really changed his attitude and his style over the years. He's matured, and you know, the centre back. I'm just thinking with this on the left hand side, maybe it is shaping up as a back four, because I would have thought back three the night he would have played in one. It'll be interesting to see how it sets up.
Andrew McLean, are you there at Hampden? He's not. We'll get him very soon, because I'm wondering I'm just looking at the time, you've probably not quite started the full warm up. Once they do that, you can often tell.
Sometimes
because
they
the back four will go and work together, and the sports scientist will throw the ball in there and let them head it back and all that sort of thing. So we'll get a wee clue. I mean,
I might be completely wrong, but I'm just looking at it now and I think for Scotland, if he was, you know, the fact that he's in the team.
Yeah, Gordon, how much of an improvement is going to be needed since the game in June when Ukraine won quite comfortably?
Yeah, I think quite a lot. I think the attitude needs to change a little bit. I think the occasion was a bit against us as well. As you said earlier on, I think the whole world wanted Ukraine to win. And I think that was weighing on us a little bit. So hopefully tonight that's kind of cleared the way. I'm going to have a real go at them tonight. And I'm hoping, as I said earlier, with Tierney on one side and Parts on the other, we can really bomb down those wings and give them a hard time.
Gordon said that, you know, go for it. We've got no other option but to go for it. Because if Steve Clarke, the manager, can say, if we lose tonight, it's game, set, match, then one way for it not to be game, set, match is to go for it and see if you can get the result you really need.
Absolutely. Thank you, Gordon and Airdrie. Enjoy the game. 01419511025. Michael's in our Drossin. What do you make of the team, Michael? Is there anyone that's been left out that you would have played?
Yeah, it's two. As I was saying to your producer, the other Gordon, two players left out. Greg Taylor from Celtic should be playing tonight, and Young Billy should be playing. I know he's not played much football in England, but it's nearly Stuart Armstrong. He's been on the bench the last couple of weeks for Southampton, so I don't understand his selection with Armstrong.
Ah, but Michael, is this just because of their Drossin connection?
No, I'm not to do that, Gordon. Not at all, not at all.
The mayor of Ardrossan, Billy Gilmore, must play, says Michael.
But I really do think we have to factor in his lack of game time of late. With regard to Greg Taylor, he hasn't put a foot wrong all season long, apart from Sunday. So, you know, again, Stevie Clark can only pick 11, and I understand why Gilmore's not playing. And Tierney, there's just a bit of a log jam in front of him. Taylor, a bit of a log jam in front of him.
I think there would have been maybe more of a debate, Simon, if someone else had come in and played left back. But it's Kieran Tierney that's replacing what would be Greg Taylor.
Yeah, but Michael might argue that.
No, of course, yeah.
Tierney
could
play
reshuffle
one in and Tierney play one out. I think he is, with his current form, St Mirren out with. I think he's had a very good start to the season. He's upped his performance levels.
And of course, he would have played the last game, didn't he, against Armenia?
Yeah, he played in the last one where we won 4-1 away from home. And, you know, I think he'd have been a more than able replacement tonight for, well, what we thought was Andy Robertson. But, yeah, Tierney's there. Mm-hmm. You're playing if Tierney's playing wing back, you're playing, you know, he's first pick.
Yeah, I mean, Michael, you would have no concerns then that Billy Gilmore's lack of game time, you think he could have just come in and taken to it?
Yep, and I don't know what Simon was thinking there, but he just read my mind basically what he said there. What he just mentioned, he could play Tierney one and Taylor on the other side, drop Nathan Patterson.
Yeah, look, there's no point in us getting too far ahead of ourselves. Tonight's the big game. This is the big one. It's the first one.
I agree with Michael with Billy again.
We'll possibly
as well
see Greg Taylor over these next week, though. We've got three games in seven days, games. You do agree, you think Billy Gilmore's just that type? Because some do it, don't they? I referenced it
last night.
I'm trying
to put myself in the boy's shoes. Yeah. He's a fit young lad. He's played for Scotland. He can handle the situation. I go back to Wembley. He was first class. He played in the last game. He'll be fit. He'd maybe last 60 minutes tonight and maybe have to get replaced, but I just think the quality that he's got, I would have probably went with him.
You understand the other side of it though, Hugh. He's a disrupted time.
He's had a disrupted time for a long period of time, because Norwich was a real bad move for him. He was not to know that in advance, but it was a bad move for him. Gone back to Chelsea, and then Chelsea have decided to sell him to Brighton. So I can well understand why Stevie Clark has said, yeah, he might be able to last an hour, but I want to put out a starting 11 who, in theory, are all busting a gut to last the 90 minutes on their own without any need for change.
Yeah, I think 1 minute he's played since
1 minute,
14th of June, when he started against Armenia. Yeah. So you both make a good point. Thank you, Michael, and the rest of the Billy Gilmore fan club in Ardrossan. It was nice to speak to you, and it's already that time of the evening.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
The longer this goes on, the more concerned I get. It has been a long time since we had a listener beat the pundit. We need to change that tonight. Look, don't tell them I said it, but see, Simon and Hugh, they're not actually that good at Beat the Pundit. I think they're there for the taking. 0141 951 1025, and your chance to beat the pundit is next, but only if you call before 7 o'clock. Come on.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans is here, Simon Donnelly is alongside him, and they are both waiting patiently for you to get in touch and give them your thoughts, whether it's on Scotland-Ukraine tonight, the team that Steve Clark's picked, the team that he hasn't picked, or something else. Ange Postecoglou is back in his homeland, and he's been asked over there. Wasn't our fault. He's been asked over there about links to Leicester and moves to the English Premier League, and we'll play you his answer. And I wonder how you feel about that stuff, Celtic fans. Does that worry you, or is that just not something you think is likely at any point? 01419511025 or Twitter at Clyde SSB. We will do this first, though. Priorities and all that.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, Beat the Pundit time. We've not had a winner on the phones for quite some time, and it's starting to concern me. Alistair in Fife, can you be the man to put that right, please?
I hope so.
Be a bit of a Fife derby, Hugh. You are a council taxpayer in the Fife region.
In Ainster, yeah.
How is the holiday home?
Yes, I think I'm going up at the weekend to say hello to my grandchildren who now live in Dundee.
So you've not said goodbye to the holiday home in Anstruther, having now broadened your horizons and gone on a real journey around Italy?
Well, I mean, once you've been...
You're going to go back to your roots.
Once you've done the gondola, you know... Easter's a bit of a second place.
But your luggage hasn't arrived home yet.
Well, there's a drama behind that. I left it in Venice, and
like
I was
deliberately.
No, I was told leave it there and it'll be delivered to your home. And then called me.
Alright, so that was part of like...
That's the deal.
Well seen, you even holiday like no one else does. So
they called me at 9 o'clock.
You didn't need to take your luggage with you.
No.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Right, okay.
So they called me at 9 o'clock this morning and said, your luggage is back in the UK. It is in the East Midlands now. You can follow your progress of the luggage on your app.
Can you? Follow the luggage, can you?
Yeah, not on your app.
But she then said, well, you have an app. I said, no. I said, do you have an iPhone? I said, no.
Do you want me to track it for you?
And then it got very, very sad. She said to me, do you know anybody with an iPhone?
Do you want me to track it for you at the next break? We'll have a look.
That'd be great.
Someone in the East Midlands, if there's anyone listening in the East Midlands, if you come across a suitcase with four pair of brown hush puppies, five pair of khaki cords, and 17 white collared shirts, it belongs to Hugh Keevans.
Four pairs of brown socks.
Please send them back, FAO, producer Callum. Right, Alistair, enough about his underwear. I'm going to toss the coin. If it's heads, it will be the Fife Derby. And if it's tails, it will be Simon Donnelly. Oh, I've dropped the coin. It's thinking about Hugh Keevan's underwear. It's thrown me all off.
I hope Craig Gordon's not with that later.
I hope he's not. Right, we'll do it one more time, will we? And it is heads. There we are. You got your wish, Hugh. So we'll give you some Clyde 2 to listen to, just so that he doesn't know what's going on. Alistair, 30 seconds. Answer as many as you can. Pass if you don't know. That's the key, okay?
Yep.
Let's go. Which European club did Alan McGregor leave Rangers to join?
Pass.
Which World Cup did Ange Postecoglou take Australia to?
2010.
Will Fish is on loan at Hibs from which English top flight team?
Pass.
Name any current St Mirren player who previously played for Motherwell.
Mark O'Hara.
Name the only player in Scotland's men's squad who plays for Brentford.
Hickey.
Name either Scotsman who's captained their English top flight team this season.
Hanley.
Okay, let's bring back Hugh Keevans. Hugh, can you hear us?
I can.
30 seconds. Same set of questions. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
Which European club did Alan McGregor leave Rangers to join?
Ooh, pass.
Which World Cup did Ange Postecoglou take Australia to?
South Africa.
Will Fish is on loan at Hibs from which English top flight team?
Pass.
Name any St Mirren player who's previously played for Motherwell.
Curtis Main.
Name the only player in the Scotland men's squad who plays for Brentford.
The fullback. Oh, Hickey.
Name either Scotsman who's captained their English top flight team this season.
Robertson.
Okay. Right, how do you think it went, Alistair?
Oh, I panicked. I knew that first one, and then I don't know where I get Hanley for.
I think it's harder under pressure. I know that's the obvious thing, but is it noticeably harder when the pressure's on?
Oh, it's a lot harder. Mm. Anybody will tell you. I tell everybody I'm good in the house. I'm working along.
Don't we all? Right, Alan McGregor went to Besiktas. Ange Postecoglou took Australia to Brazil 2014.
Oh.
So none of you got that. So it's a 0-0. It's a hard-fought 0-0 draw at this point. And we're still waiting for the breakthrough. Will Fish is on loan at Hibs from Manchester United. Headline writer's dream. Just waiting on getting sent off for a tackle on Connor Salmon in the Scottish Cup.
No,
Hugh,
no.
Your tabloid friends will go to town on it.
They've had their chips.
Stop it. I'll tell you what, anyone who's ever seen anything to do with Scottish football would need to get this, because there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 St Mirren players who've played for Motherwell. So you could take your pick: Curtis Main or Mark O'Hara. That's what you both went for. Declan Gallagher, Richard Tate, Charles Dunn, Trevor Carson, or the manager Stephen Robinson, or the chief exec Keith Lasley, or the girl in the pie stall. There's quite a few links there. So you both got that. You both knew Aaron Hickey, plays for Brentford. And the two Scotsmen who've captained their English top flight team this season: Andy Robertson is not one. Grant Hanley-Alistair no longer plays in the top flight. So you had the choice of John McGinn, who's the Villa captain, or Liam Cooper. So we're off to the tiebreaker, which is fine, Alistair. It's closer than we've been in recent times, so I'll take that. Here's the way it works. I read the question, I'll get Hugh Keevans to write down his answer, and I'll then invite you to give me your attempt, okay?
Yep.
The question is, how many league goals did Celtic and Rangers concede combined last season? How many league goals did Celtic and Rangers concede combined last season? Hugh, show me your paper, please. Okay, and Alistair?
43.
43, says Alistair. 58, says Hugh Keevans. The answer is 53. He's pipped you. He's pipped you, Alistair. He might not have a clean pair of Y fronts to his name, but he has beaten you on Beat the Pundit. Hard lines, Alistair.
Well, that's why the Shuckster's a legend, isn't it?
Well, he's been called many things, but there we go. Thank you, Alistair.
You come up to the caravan in Ainster, Alistair, and we'll have a wee drink.
Thank you. Cheers.
No, you need to bring it though, Alistair. That's it. He's not buying it. Thank you, Alistair, from Fife.
Well done, Hugh.
They all count.
I thought that was way too high.
Yeah.
53.
Take a last minute penalty from Scotland tonight, wouldn't we? So there we go. That's the equivalent.
Yeah. That's the best I've felt since singing Jose Feliciano on the speedboat.
You heard about this?
No. Singing what?
Well, there is not that much more to it. He's, you tell him, it's your story.
We took a speedboat from the island of Murano
to
Venice, skimming along the waters of the Grand Canal to a beautiful restaurant only able to be accessed by
you thought
water.
You said I need Mrs. Keevans.
I did. On the way back.
Not just her, remember. There was a group. He's on some sort of tour group.
Must have been wine involved.
You better believe it.
So what were you singing?
Jose Feliciano singing My Foolish Heart.
Me neither. You're more of a Stone Roses man, aren't you?
I thought it was just one cornetto or something.
But you're continuing on this lifestyle, because I believe you were out seeing Andrea Bocelli last night,
and he was nothing other than magnificent.
Didn't invite you up for an encore.
He said to me, "Do you want to do My Foolish Heart?" And I said, "Listen, I've done it on Super Scoreboard.
Don't want to upstage you.
I cannot top that."
Okay,
you go on and sing Nessun Dorma. Go on.
Was it good though? I think I'd have enjoyed that.
It was sensational, and the crowd were sensational.
Was it just one night, Hugh? Was he only doing one night?
Glasgow audience. Let me tell you, whether it's the Stone Roses, Rod Stewart, or Andrea Bocelli, a Glasgow audience is the best you can get. The audience loved them to bits.
Was it full? Was it Hydro?
Hydro, yeah.
See anyone you knew?
I saw a football legend at the end of it all. Ooh. Dundee United, title winner.
Oh, look at producer Callum, he's so excited.
What position?
Centre back.
Neary?
No, the other one.
Hegarty?
Yes. Paul Hegarty.
One of the coaches.
Enjoying it?
He was there with his wife and his boys, and he loved it. And he's one of the nicest men in the world, as everyone knows. So it was an absolute pleasure to be reunited with Paul Hegarty.
There we go. A cultural tour of Europe with Hugh Keevans. Maybe we'll do a spin-off show next season. 01419511025 or Twitter at Clyde SSB. Let's bring in Ross, who's a Celtic fan. Ross, I did say at the start of the show, I'm sure some people would have a bit of domestic football to, you know, get off their chest, as well as the Scotland game tonight. What have you got for us?
Hi, Hugh, Simon and Gordon, hope you're all well.
Thank you.
Good.
I'm definitely need to get this off my chest, because on Sunday I was left annoyed by Ange, and it's the first time in Ange's time as being Celtic manager that I've ever felt to criticise him, but I just felt like his team selection on Sunday was disrespectful towards St Mirren. We've went there on Sunday with a weakened team on the basis that we were just going to turn up and win the game. Why leave Jota on the bench? Why leave Jackie Marcus on the bench? Why leave Hatate on the bench? We're going to try and win a league title and he wants to play a weakened team. I don't get that at all.
Just quickly then, Ross, because this is the same response I think I offered a previous caller, just to test your theory. Was it also disrespectful when they made even more changes at Ross County? Or is it only when you lose then?
No, Gordon. In that respect, that's a cup game, so that's irrelevant because you can lose a cup game. But in a league, we're effectively giving Rangers an opportunity to go top of the league now because of Ange's stupidity.
Yeah, but at the same time, you know, you're still top of the league and you've got another 31 games to make up for it. Where had you lost at Ross County, you would have gone out the cup and the cup would have been over.
But I would rather lose a cup game than lose a league game. That's the way I look at it. I would rather just go 5 points clear and stay 5 points clear.
I agree with every word that Alistair has said.
Not about Ross, though.
And Ross. I think he picked the wrong team. I think he was complacent. I think he thought he could put anyone out in the jersey with the badge and that would be okay. And I may be simplistic, however, I believe that you pick your best team and that includes Hatate, O'Reilly and Jota. And by the time Jota came on, it was slipping away from Celtic and all he seemed to be interested in was throwing himself about. I think the momentum was with Celtic. The Rangers fans were on here going crazy on Saturday evening because of the performance they'd put in against the bottom club, Dundee United. And I think Ange Postecoglou, and as I say, if a man makes a serious mistake once in a calendar year, then Gene Hadley, hang him out to dry. However, he is not above criticism and he picked the wrong team.
Same to you though. I mean, was it complacent to make 9 changes going to Dingwall knowing that you're cup hopes, because you know, this isn't England. Celtic and Rangers try and take your cups really seriously. They made 9 changes, went to Dingwall, won. Oh, and we were waxing lyrical about Celtic strength and depth and Ange could do no wrong. Now they didn't win this one and now it's complacent or it's arrogant or, you know, whatever. So what's the difference?
The difference is that I think that, first of all, as Ross said, the league is more important than cup competition.
Yeah, but again, to offer that as well, Celtic are still top of the league. Nothing has been lost at the week. They would have gone out the cup. Can you imagine the reaction if Celtic had gone out the cup that night? It would have been much worse than the reaction today or yesterday to them losing a league game.
Well, the situation was that Celtic had the opportunity to take the 5-point advantage into the international break. Rangers then start with Hearts at Tynecastle, which leaves the outcome open to debate. Celtic are at home to Motherwell. There ought to be less of an argument over who wins that one than who wins at Tynecastle.
If you say so.
And I'm afraid, I think the Celtic fans were stunned by the abject nature of the performance. As I say, one mistake in a calendar year, you're not entitled to go overboard. But they were shocking.
Don't get me wrong, Simon, I'm testing the theory. I respect that Ross and Hugh have hard evidence on their hands in the form of a 2-0 victory for St Mirren. But I just, going forward then, we can't be that selective, surely, about when it's when you get praised and when you get criticised for it.
I think it's because they didn't win. I think that's, if Celtic go to St Mirren on Sunday with a changed team and win, this isn't a debate. But I agree with Hugh and Ross in that. And I think Ange, as I said at the top of the show, I think he was disappointed and realised at half time because these guys came on. But unfortunately, by then, in that game, the momentum had gone. The game was flat from 5 minutes in. You could just see it, you know, and I think Stan Petrov was doing the game. He talked about a lot of changes, upsetting the rhythm. And I think that's what happened at the weekend. Uh-huh. It upset the Celtic rhythm. They performed really well. Domestically, they've been brilliant. They get a decent result during the week. Arguably, they could have got a win, you know, if they'd taken their chances. The rhythm was upset at the weekend. And in the games, I played in those horrible games where St Mirren get themselves in front and that goal gives you 10 extra yards that you want to run. You want to go and block somebody down. You want to hold on to your win. And Celtic didn't look like scoring after that.
It plants a seed of doubt along these lines, and I wonder if Ross will agree with me. it plants a seed of doubt about the strength and depth that Celtic do actually possess. Because when you took Carton Vickers and Starfelt out of the equation, those who replaced them, and you take Juranovic out, those who replaced them were not up to it.
Ross?
Yeah, I'm totally with you in that one. I have to agree with him 100%. I think in the last couple of weeks we've heard, and I've been one of them, that I've said that Celtic have got a good squad, and I've never felt to criticise them. But watching Sunday, it was just, you replaced Juranovic with Alston, and you replace Carter Vickers with Stephen Welsh, and for me, they're nowhere near the level that we need to be at Celtic. But I've also got a quick point, guys, about the Green Brigade and stuff. And I think Celtic as a club need to come out and they need to address these issues, because Sunday was embarrassing for me as a Celtic fan, with the fact that with these banners, and the club seem to just sit back and let them do whatever they want. They don't ever stand up, and I think it's time that Celtic need to get rid of them, and we just need to move on as a football club and start showing respect.
I think it was a point Roger Hanna made in terms of, you know, more of the communication. Like, everyone obviously has their own feelings on the sentiment. The communication, he felt Ange Postecoglou shouldn't be fronting this up. Are Celtic as a club going to address the issue one way or the other? I think, you know, that Ross is talking about, is the board going to do something either way?
Ange Postecoglou had a press conference on Friday at which he requested that the Celtic supporters show respect at the minutes applause prior to the game. I do not think that if you have a disregard for an institution, you necessarily need to be as aggressive in your dislike as the supporters were. You can turn your back on it if you like. You can do anything other than what they did. And I think they let down, the supporters let down Ange Postecoglou. And I think the Celtic board are overindulgent when it comes to the people who persistently let them down.
Cheers, Ross. Susan Finley's on Twitter talking about the team selection. No way Ange was being disrespectful. Doesn't seem that kind of person. It was a one-off. Bad day. People need to calm down, says Susan. 01419511025. We need to go back to Hampden because we're getting pretty close to kick-off. We've got a full-time teaser and we're already late for these.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One's Super Scoreboard.
Simon Donnelly is on his own because he has just...
Where's he gone?
Right, this is meant to be a professional live radio show. During that break, he asked me to track his luggage back from Italy. I've been on my phone here.
I just looked up.
I've tracked it. And as soon as I gave him the information, he turned round, went out the door and held the Nokia to his ear. He doesn't even know that the ad break is finished. Someone want to give him a wave, a nudge, a kick up the backside.
Here he comes.
It's nice of you to join us, Mr. Keevans.
I've had a message about the luggage.
Hope we're not keeping you. I've tracked it for you, by the way.
I know, I've sent a daughter up to the house to see if it's up there.
No, I don't think so. It says clearance processing complete at East Midlands.
What does that mean?
Well, it's on its way, I would imagine.
Right.
I mean, it's going to take a bit of time to get from East Midlands to your leafy suburb of Glasgow. But I think...
Does that mean I get you up early in the morning?
I think you'll probably get it tomorrow. That would be a safe bet.
Right. Do you want it to come up and help with the washing?
No, absolutely not. Because it needs to make its way to the Glasgow service area first. So it will go to some sort of depot in Glasgow.
Right.
And then it will get brought to you. It's come from Treviso to East Midlands and is on its way to Bearsden.
Have you got the app? Have you tracked it?
I've had to track Hugh Keevan's luggage. I don't get paid enough for this. Seriously, these extras that get thrown into the job description because he doesn't have a phone.
There must be some valuable stuff in that suitcase. No,
the way he so sure.
I need to phone my daughter and tell her not to bother.
Don't take my word for it. Maybe it will arrive tonight, but I just think a best bet would be tomorrow. So, honestly, the drama. Right, I've got a full-time teaser. We're going to go back to Hampden, see if we can get any clues as to how Scotland are lining up. Sometimes the warm-up gives you a wee clue. You can tell this is a topical one because Russell Abercrombie and KJ Styles sent in the exact same question on the same day. Can the guys name the starting 11 the last time Scotland beat Ukraine at Hampden? Now, it's all right, like, I'll give you a bit of context that might help you. So it was 2007, so that's the Alex McLeish era.
Right. Okay.
Let me, or was it? Yeah. Hold on. Let me think. I think it was. Yeah. It's round about the time of Paris McFadden, France.
I was about to say McFadden.
So it was the anniversary, wasn't it? Not so long ago. So it's
James McFadden,
Gary Gillespie. Not Gary Gillespie. Gary Caldwell. Gary Caldwell.
No.
Is McFadden one?
Yes.
Alan Hutton.
Yes.
Lee McCulloch.
Yes, because McCulloch and McFadden scored, didn't they?
Yeah, I remember it.
There we go. Right, so you've got Hutton, McFadden, McCulloch. Can you name the other eight of the Scotland starting 11 the last time they beat Ukraine at Hampden, 2007?
Barry Ferguson.
Barry Ferguson also played. You know what? You all acted as if it was a brutal question and you've scooshed it. So we'll leave it there. We'll try and get the rest of the answers before the end. And that is another thanks to Russell Abercrombie and KJ Styles. What they did was they got their thinking caps on, came up with a question, and sent it to fulltime@clyde1.com. That's fulltime@clyde1.com. So please do send that in. Let's go back to Hampden, just out of curiosity, Andrew McLean. I'm asking a lot of you. I know you've been away getting your dinner. Is there anything in that warm-up that maybe pointed as to whether Scotland will play a back three or a back four?
Yeah, well, when I was down getting my dinner there, I was speaking to the rest of the guys in the press room, and there was lots of debate about whether it would be a back three or a back four. I came back upstairs there, was keeping a close eye on the warm-up. There's nothing definitive, but a couple of things I did spot. First of all, there were two players standing around 40 yards apart, pinging a ball to each other. That was Jack Hendry and Scott McKenna, and then close to them, standing about 10 yards apart from one another, playing short passes to each other, were Callum McGregor and Scott McTominay. So those clues may look as if it could be Jack Hendry and Scott McKenna as the two centre-backs in a back four, and it could well be Callum McGregor is joined in midfield by Scott McTominay, and John McGinn would be in there as well. Certainly not definitive evidence, but based on that, you'd think there's a good chance it could be a change of formation for Scotland tonight.
See, we're big on this warm-up analysis, we call it. It was Gordon DL's favourite, I was going to say his favourite hobby, sorry. It's one of Gordon DL's favourite hobbies. And sometimes it can give you a clue, Simon.
Yeah, interesting. It is pointing towards a back four, you know, and I think you suggested it, didn't you? You kind of suggested it first.
Do you interpret that, Simon, as a cautious thing?
What, a back four?
Yeah.
Not for me, no. No. I quite like the look of it, I think.
Especially
McTominay
given
McTominay would be your insurance in the middle of the park, and maybe give McGregor a wee bit more freedom. Who else is in there? McGinn. McGinn will get forward anyway.
Especially given what, the, you know, okay, saying back four, but the personnel within that, you know where Patterson and Tierney are going.
Aye, of course, aye. I mean, they are very much attacking players, albeit I think Tierney's a fantastic defender as well. But I think that's a good shape if it's a back four.
We mentioned it earlier. When it comes to Scotland, I don't know whether if some people do have a general apathy. Maybe it's international football as a whole because there's the big gaps between the games. It seems, Simon, that if things start to go slightly wrong, there's a tendency that people want everything ripped up. The back three got us to Euros. The back three produce some famous performances, some very good results against good opposition. So it doesn't mean that, you know, that it's dead in the water. However, Crane game, we did seem to toil a little bit in midfield. We did look like we got overpowered, and McGregor and Gilmore didn't really get on the ball. Yeah. And although it's worked at times, there's still a Scott McTominay conundrum there. But he's a midfielder for Manchester United.
Yeah, I think there was a stage where I was quite happy for him to move into that back three because
Gilmore and McGregor were playing so well.
Yeah, to an extent. But as you quite rightly say there, I do remember at times, and it is hindsight, you watch the game unfold in front of you, the Ukraine game, I did feel, you know, if he pushed further forward into the middle of the park.
And did he not? I think he did go in there and
we looked better. Yeah. So, and again, going back to his club form, you know, people are raving about his performances.
Keeping Casemiro out of the team.
Pep Guardiola said one of the best defensive midfielders at the moment going about. So, you know, playing more familiar in there, I think, gives McGinn and McGregor a wee bit more of a licence. You've got the fullbacks out attacking. Christian Armstrong at the top of the park. I think it's quite a positive team to start with.
Yeah. When Gilmore and McGregor really hit it off, the Wembley was, you know, one of the peaks of that. We were just, They look really good at keeping the ball. And yeah. Is that something that that's this midfield maybe doesn't quite give as much?
I think they still have that. McGregor's keeps the ball for fun. McGinn, you know, I think he's had a indifferent start to the season. You know, he's got the captaincy at Villa, and I watched the last game there, and the commentary, they were talking about his form. But his form for Scotland can't be questioned. You know, he'll keep the ball. He'll get into dangerous situations going forward. The 13 goals suggest that. He's been a talisman, you know, in recent times. And McTominay's had a good start to the season. He's playing in a Man United team. So I wouldn't... I love Gilmour. I think Gilmour's got a big future for Scotland. I wouldn't have had any qualms about him in there tonight. But those three are more than capable of keeping the ball.
Hugh, if there's one man whose club form we should be excited about rather than always doing it from the negative, it would be Nathan Patterson. Goes down to Everton. Tough start.
Yep.
The fans are absolutely raving about him now every week.
Yeah. I admire him, because he's had to withstand the loss of Rafa Benitez, the man who signed him. Frank Lampard had an uncertain time when he replaced Benitez. And it seemed as if Nathan Patterson had gone from the subs bench at Ibrox to the stand at Goodison Park. He was that far away from the team. So I admire him for the way he's stuck to it. And I think that he will be a real positive for Scotland tonight.
Hope so. Let's bring in George, who's a Scotland fan. George, what do you think about the team, the squad, anything else that's on your mind?
Well, first up, just tuned in. I got in from work. So has the squad been announced?
Yes, the team's been announced tonight. Yes, it has. Who in particular are you looking out for?
Well, could you just sort of remind me, who's starting for Scotland tonight? Because I've not looked at the team.
Nathan Patterson, Jack Hendry, Scott McKenna, Kieran Tierney, Callum McGregor, John McGinn,
McTominay,
Scott McTominay, Stuart Armstrong, Ryan Christie and Shea Adams.
Right, okay. It sounds not a bad team, but first thing I kind of note is up front we're maybe a wee bit light, cause I noticed there's no Lyndon Dykes. I don't know if he's injured or something.
He's on the bench.
I was reading an article from the Daily Record the other day, and they were looking at players that were left out of selection. You know, the likes of your Barry Mackay at Hearts, young Elliot of Newcastle, who's been lighting up Newcastle, you know, and I was thinking, well, if we had a gaps in defence, he could have came in. And then there was Elliot Anderson, and then they mentioned Lewis Morgan, who's hit top form over
In MLS. Yeah, some interesting suggestions, well, Hugh. This comes with the territory, right? This is not George's fault. People do this. Scotland kick off against Ukraine in 10 minutes. Uh-huh. So we can't dedicate... No, it's not that we can't dedicate the time. It sometimes seems strange to then talk about, you know, who's not in the squad altogether.
Yeah.
But that is what international football does, because, you know, you've got this finite group of people to draw on the resources. And George is quite right to say, I think Barry Mackay could have added something. I think Lewis Morgan could have added something. The player he mentions is Elliot Anderson, who is a midfielder at Newcastle.
I am a little surprised that Barry Mackay did not make the squad at all, because I've said in the programme before this season that out with the players at Celtic and Rangers, Barry Mackay, I think, is consistently the best player in the league. But he was never going to start the match, because if the manager is telling you that defeat tonight for Scotland means that we've had it in the tournament, then he's never going to pitch into that kind of game someone who has not been a regular member of his squad. And that applies to Lewis Morgan. I'm not sure to what extent Steve Clark believes in the MLS. Because you're successful there, that means you'll get into the Scotland squad. I'm not sure he believes that. And with regard to Elliot Anderson at Newcastle, good luck to him.
He's in the 21 squad. Yeah, he's in Scotland's under-21.
Again, I go back to the argument. Tonight is for the tried and tested.
I mean, Simon, if you're looking at attacking changes and who can impact the game, Lyndon Dykes would be the obvious one. He's played a lot of times for Scotland. He scored some big goals. We mentioned Ryan Fraser. He's back in the squad for the first time in a while. Not that many
not
other.
Much after that, no,
Jacob Brown pulled out the squad.
Yeah, there's not much really out with the two that you've mentioned, to be honest. To go back to George's point, Mackay, yes, I agree with you. He's maybe count himself a wee bit unlucky not to be in the squad, but I don't think any of those three lads would be anywhere near starting tonight. I think there's a kind of club feel about Scotland over the last little while. Steve Clarke knows what he's got with his players. There's one or two missing through injury that might have played, but I don't think any of these three would have enhanced the team, never mind being involved.
Maybe for the future. Thank you, George. Right, what about that Scotland starting 11 the last time we beat Ukraine at Hampden? 07. You've got McFadden, McCulloch, Ferguson, Hutton,
Fletcher.
He did not play that day. Ooh. Darren Fletcher.
Was Craig Gordon in goal?
He was. Well done.
Big McManus.
Yep.
Paul Telfer?
No, we'll get the rest, and kick off at Hampden is next. Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Just building up to kick off at Hampden. We are not far away at all. In fact, we should be pretty much, if we've timed it properly, in time for the national anthem. It will be Flower of Scotland, I think. Andrew McLean at that stage. There we go. That's all the answer you need.
With the national anthem ringing round Hampden here, the Scotland players in their new Scotland kits, the men's team wearing them for the first time today, the Ukraine players draped in Ukraine flags as they were at the start of June when they came here and won 3-1 in that World Cup playoff semi-final. As for team news, Steve Clarke, he's been very committed to a three at the back formation since he switched to that as national team boss, but plenty of speculation that that could change tonight, not only because of personnel, but a couple of clues in the warm-up too that it could be a back four. If it is a back four, it'll be Craig Gordon in goal. The back four, Nathan Patterson, Jack Hendry, Scott McKenna and Kieran Tierney. It would be a midfield three of Scott McTominay, John McGinn and Callum McGregor. It would be Stuart Armstrong and Ryan Christie just off of Shea Adams. Plenty for Steve Clarke to turn to on the bench as well. Kelly McCrory, Taylor, Porteous, Dykes, Gilmore, Ralston, Fraser, Jack Hickey and McLean. It could still be a three at the back. Steve Clarke in his pre-match press conference yesterday saying the most important thing is to continue what they've been doing over the last 2 or 3 years, but just do it better than they did in June against Ukraine and against Ireland. So plenty of focus on the performance tonight, and that's because it is a huge night in this Nations League group, and we know how important the Nations League can be. Steve Clarke looking for a win if Scotland want to be in with a chance of topping the group. As it stands, it's still all to play for, but we all know the story of what happened here in June. That's still sticking in the minds of the fans, of the manager, of the players as well. They'll want to put that one right out on the pitch tonight. And there's a good crowd in here so far for this one, still filling up a bit. I am led to believe there is mostly a sellout. The Ukrainians did have a 3,000 allocation. I think 1,500 Ukraine fans will be in the stadium tonight. The rain is coming down in the south side of Glasgow as well. But I will pass back to you now as we go to enter a minute's applause to remember Queen Elizabeth II.
Yeah, big game obviously coming up at Hampden. I'm just surprised that it's chucking it down. We entered the studio, Hugh, and it was a lovely day. It was roasting. You felt like you were back in...
if you
Venice
notice,
and all of a sudden,
if you notice in the newsroom, the old fella brought a brolly.
Yeah, he's not daft, is he, Simon?
Experience.
Don't know where my luggage is, but I know where my brolly is.
Well, on the subject of fashion, quite like that new Scotland strip. It's a debut for it. Hopefully, it brings us good luck. And all of its Celtic fans on bemoaning the use of a new strip at the weekend, but this is obviously a traditional home effort for Scotland.
Yeah,
and
looks nice. I'll no doubt be buying two of them for Christmas.
These days, you might want to get them to share one.
Eh?
You'll need to get them to share one these days.
I know, not a bad idea.
Sound like Hugh Keevans. Back in my day, the strips never cost that much anyway.
I'm just hoping the granny isn't watching and has a fit and buys it for all the grandchildren.
Just listening to the atmosphere, it sounded lively, Simon. Sounded good. Andrew's saying that it's pretty much a sellout.
Yeah, listen, as I said earlier on, the Nations Cup never really captures the excitement of myself, but, you know, I'll be supporting the boys when I get home tonight in the second half. And if we get off to a good start here, the boys will get the Tottenham will get right behind them.
By the way, we're giving away one of these, two of these strips, I think, next week. Just you can, I don't think you two are eligible, but there we go.
I marvel at the Scotland fans, I really do. You know, because the Euros for me were a failure. A draw against England, and that's your lot. And then, you know, the Ukraine going to Hampden. We went to Dublin and get turned over, but they never stopped turning up.
You're spoiled rotten. See, if you only go and support teams that win every week, there wouldn't really be any football. There wouldn't be fans anywhere. You're speaking to St Mirren, Motherwell, St Johnstone, Aberdeen, all these teams out there who go every week despite getting beat. That's what it's all about.
I am paying tribute to the fortitude of the Tartan Army. I know
and
that
by the
fans
way,
go to the club
games. I know it was disappointing in the summer, but we're still in it. Over, there'll be a generation of fans in there. Unfortunately, this is a pretty good period compared to what we've been used to.
No, well, you may have been used to it.
That's what I said, a certain generation of fans.
Back in the day, I took it all for granted.
Exactly.
World Cups followed by European Championships.
You were spoiled.
That's what I said, spoiled rotten. We heard the crowd there, it's their favourite. Just before the kick-off, we've got McGinn, Super John McGinn. He's got the captain's arm. Oh, there we go, listen to this. After all that, it looks like they're lining up in a back three.
tactical experts.
All the pre-match discussion. Anyway, we'll see how it pans out. Or does it?
No, McTominay's. Is that McTominay there?
Yeah, McTominay looks like he's in midfield.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yep. Back for what?
Yeah. We've got McGinn, Super John McGinn is the shout. Simon, he's got the captain's armband on. He has been an inspirational figure for Scotland. We need one of those performances from him tonight.
Yeah, he's been, I described him as the talisman. I think he's been Scotland's best player in recent times. You look at his stats, almost at 50 caps, and he's 13 goals from midfield.
Am I right in saying he should pass the 50 caps in
this
break?
Period here?
What is he on?
48. This will be 49.
He should get
and
the 50.
He's 13 goals, which is unbelievable. I think one of the callers quite rightly said earlier, we're not renowned for high scoring, playing with one striker at times, but to get 13 goals from midfield, as Ukraine break down the left here.
Oh, and that's why, hold on, we're not clear yet, but that's why Nathan Patterson is going to be so vital, because Mudryk is electric. Celtic fans,
electric.
That's the guy that scored for Shakhtar.
He's
electric, and he's just gone down the left, and he looked favourite, but Patterson then matched him and recovered, Simon.
Yeah, he done enough just to halt him, because that lad can shift, as we've seen last week against Juranovic, who's very quick himself, you know, for the Shakhtar goal. But Patterson get back in there well, and it was a wee bit messy, but he did enough to stop the attack.
He looked good against Celtic, Hugh. I'm not sure where you were at this point on your fancy holiday.
And Ukraine looked good tonight. You know, there's something to be said for being fired up by what they are going through as a country. You know, they have an immense pride, and it shows itself every time they put on the shirt. So they've started in a very promising fashion. It's going to be a very competitive night.
Not again. Tell me there's an offside flag going up here.
No, there isn't.
Jack Hendry was trying to play offside. It was nowhere near it. We have got men back, but and the ball gets blasted over. Do you know what that reminded exactly like, Simon? Ukraine's opener in June.
Yeah, it's a little bit concerning.
It's exactly like that.
2 minutes on the clock, and they've had a couple of breaks. Let's just see it again here.
He's off. So had it gone in, I'm not sure it would have stood. We'll have VAR at this level, I assume. So, or do we? Yeah, I would have thought so. So, but warning signs, though, certainly in the first exchanges.
As I said at the very start of the programme, there is no reason to suspect that Ukraine are any worse than
they were in June.
I mean, there's every reason to suspect that they're better than they were in June. So that's not to say that Scotland will replicate their poor performance of last June, but it's just going to be a night of high tension.
Yeah, I feel tense already, truth be told. Simon, but that is important. It's one thing talking about the cause and everything Ukraine are going through, which is completely valid and relevant, but that'll never make you technically a better footballer. They showed in June they're just technically actually better than maybe people gave them credit for.
You literally took the words out of my mouth as Hugh was talking there about their
half chance. Shea Adams in at the back post, it's just poked away out for a throw in. It was good work by John McGinn scrapping away.
Yeah, just they talk about their plight and what they've went through terribly away from football. Concentrating on the football, technically they are very, very good.
See, there we go again.
Yeah, the ball over the top again. What is good, Scott McKenna, he can shift as well, Simon.
You get back well there again. You know, listen, we're 4 minutes into the game. Three times they've tried to attack, we've quashed it. But yeah, it's a wee bit worrying, wee bit concerning.
Because that is, despite maybe it's got shortcomings in other areas, but Hendry and McKenna are quick, and Tierney and Patterson are extremely quick.
Yeah.
So is it? That's not the be all and end all.
Certainly helps.
You'd rather not.
Certainly helps when you've got the likes of Mudryk on that side. Yaramalenko up there can shift as well. They're looking to get in behind again here. It's going to be a test. This is where you're playing against one of the best here. Ukraine, they break in on the left hand side.
I'll tell you what, we've tried so many times to get an offside decision in the first 4 minutes, and it's not really happening.
But nations like ours, you have to have everybody at the top of their game, which it wasn't the case the last time, so it needs to be that tonight.
Yeah, well, here goes Kieran Tierney though. Always nice to see him galloping forward for Scotland. Does it so effectively, and we certainly missed that in the games that he was out. And you just know what he's going to do. He's going to try and go down the line, and he does it brilliantly. Cuts it back, and there's no takers. That's more like it, Simon.
That was terrific play. Terrific play. I just don't think he got enough on the cross. Tried to cut it back, but powerful, positive play. Taking
so good at that, isn't
he? Brilliant at it.
Everybody knows where he's going to go, but stopping him's a different.
Yeah, and listen, positive play. The worst he's getting there at times is force a corner, but he tries to cut that in there. Just doesn't get it quite right.
Yeah,
here we go again. Here, better, a wee bit encouraging.
Better from Scotland. Armstrong's going to work it out to Patterson if he can get there. The cross is just a bit overhit. Anyway, can you finish off by naming the rest of that starting 11? The last time Scotland beat Ukraine. Oh, into the box again. Ryan Christie's ball. Can hardly take my eyes off this. It's not bad, this from Scotland, but the Ukraine keeper has it. Anyway,
Kenny Miller.
Kenny Miller is one of them. Well done.
Paul Hartley.
Was that it? No Hartley. What about the back who played alongside
Naismith.
Steve McManus?
Gary Naismith.
Gary Naismith's there. What about a centre back alongside Steve McManus in that era you mentioned? Who did you mention? Gary Caldwell.
Gary,
it's not
Caldwell,
him.
Yeah. Clue.
He was an elder statesman at this point.
Davy Weir,
well done. Yeah. Ukraine fire one wide of the post. Jeez, this is going to be a nervy evening.
How many have we got?
You've got two midfielders to go. You've missed a slightly obvious one. If we're talking Barry Ferguson and Darren Fletcher.
Oh.
Nearly chucked you in Loch Lomond one day.
Oh, Bruni.
Scott Brown. And the other one, I would have put my life on you two not getting. I'm glad you've spared me.
I've got Gary Teal written down.
No, but you know what? That's that sort of era and that ilk. Played for Motherwell, went to Celtic, scored a very famous goal for Derby County.
Oh.
Stephen Pearson,
well done. Right, Scotland 0, Ukraine 0, 6.5 gone. We'll reflect on it all tomorrow with Gordon Dale and Mark Wilson. So make sure you get in touch. And Callum Gallagher is up next.